You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, since the dawn of time, over 60 billion people have walked over the face of this earth. And out of those 60 billion, only maybe a handful have really stood out in the history books. And out of that small handful, only one stands head and shoulders above the rest. His name is Jesus. And Jesus never wrote a book, and yet thousands of books have been written about him. Jesus never painted a picture, and yet Jesus has been the subject of countless works, masterpieces of art. Jesus never raised an army, and yet millions have fought for and died in the name of Jesus. He never traveled very far from his birthplace, and yet his testimony has gone out all across the world. Jesus started with just a couple of followers. Now, about 30% of the world's population follow Jesus. To ignore Jesus is disastrous. To reject Jesus is fatal, but to know Jesus is to love him. To love him is to trust him. To trust Jesus is to be radically, dramatically, and eternally changed by him. So the most important question you or I could ever ask is, well, who is Jesus? And that's what Matthew wants us to know. It's why he starts the genealogy of Jesus at the beginning of his gospel. He wants us to know who this Jesus is. Now, today we're going to begin with this truth that Jesus is the son of David. See, Jesus is the son of David, who is a king. I mean, this makes Jesus royalty. You and I confess that Jesus is the King of Kings. He is the King. We don't get him confused with politicians and other worldly rulers that we experience today, because Jesus as King is, well, something altogether different. See, when we look at Jesus, he's completely different as a leader and as a king. Well, Jesus is the chosen king, the promised king. I mean, promised king. This is what Christ means. It wasn't Jesus' legal last name. It was his title. This Christ means Messiah. It means anointed one. You see, the Old Testament foretells of a coming Messiah, a king who would be anointed by the power of the Holy Spirit of God and would accomplish the mission of God. This Messiah would come from the line of David. He'd be born in David's hometown, and he would then sit on David's throne. See, Matthew is practically shouting, well, it's him. This Jesus guy, he's the Messiah. He's the king you've been looking for. You see, when Matthew writes his gospel, Israel has been without a king for hundreds of years. And so Matthew is saying, the king has arrived, and his name is Jesus. You see, but Jesus was more than the promised king. Jesus was also the compassionate king. You see, Jesus doesn't come to drive out Israel's enemies. He comes to bring in the outcasts. It's evident in Matthew's genealogy. You see, in the ancient world, the way you would trace your lineage was always through the father. So it's no surprise that Matthew's genealogy is predominantly male. But it's not exclusively male. You see, in Matthew's genealogy, there's four women that are mentioned: Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, and Bathsheba. You see, all these women were outsiders to the nation of Israel. Tamar was a Canaanite like Rahab. Ruth was a Moabite who worshipped foreign gods. And Bathsheba was a Hittite like her husband Uriah. You see, the Jews were expecting a Messiah who would drive out their oppressors and crush all these other nations. He was to establish God's rule. But in his first coming, Jesus didn't come to judge the nations. He comes to welcome them in, to show hospitality. You see, Jesus brings these outcasts in, and he removes their shame. You see, it's a preview for the rest of what Matthew's gospel is going to look like. Because who does this Jesus choose to show hospitality to? Who does Jesus want you to show hospitality to? Outcasts. You see, Jesus gets close to the diseased. Those who have been ostracized and cut off from the rest of society, Jesus gets close to them. Jesus touches them. He's close enough to contract their disease. You see, sometimes you and I, we push people away. And either this pushing away or being pushed away leads to solitary lives. Lives of being outcasts. And often these wounds are deepened by the shame that's inflicted upon us. Jesus welcomes, and he heals the people who have these wounds of shame. And that includes all of us. The ugly shame, the haunting shame. See, Jesus not only takes away our guilt, the sin that we've done, Jesus also takes away our shame, the sin that was done, well, to us. You see, we don't have to drink our shame away. Work our shame away. Explain our shame away. Eat our shame away. Cry our shame away. Or bury our shame away. You see, Jesus isn't this king who sits on the throne and says, try harder. Jesus is a king who descends from the throne, filled with compassion. You see, because Jesus identifies with us in the pit of our shame. You see, at our darkest point, when we feel the ugliest, we feel the most unlovable, the most broken, and the most hurting, Jesus says, I love you. What other people said or thought or did, it doesn't define you and me. You and I don't have to live in shame. We aren't worthless. We aren't broken goods. We're healed. We're made whole. You and I are his. Because there is a Messiah. And this Jesus is the compassionate King. Jesus is also the rejected King. To the Jewish elites of his day, Jesus was the wrong kind of king. He lived in the wrong place, associated with the wrong people, preached the wrong message, offered the wrong kind of redemption. He carried the wrong mission. I mean, this is why they scoffed and they mocked Jesus every single time he showed hospitality, because it wasn't just foreign or strange or different. It was wrong. This all came to a head on the cross. Matthew writes that over the head of Jesus, a sign was hung that said, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. But notice that Christ, when he is risen, says, all authority in heaven and on earth is given to me. See, Jesus is the King of the outcasts as well. I mean, that's what we'd expect of a king, right? To have all authority. You see, as our King Jesus makes demands of us, after all, Jesus the King has the authority to make all demands of us, but before he does make these demands of us, Jesus comes for us. Jesus lives for us. He dies for us. Jesus is risen for you and for me. Jesus gives everything for us. He is the King worth following all of our days. I mean, just ask Matthew. When Matthew chapter 9, verse 9 writes, as Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth, and he said, follow me. And Matthew got up and followed him. So who is Jesus? Well, he was the kind king, the compassionate king, the promised king, the rejected king. And now, Jesus is the risen King. But best of all, Jesus is our King that we get to follow all the days of our lives. So be it. Amen. As followers of Christ, keep loving one another earnestly and show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Amen.